This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome in. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Your reaction after the Jags fall 23-17 to the Houston Texans in Week 17 and finish the season with a 3-13 record. They'll have the number 3 overall pick this coming, I guess it's back in April again this year, the draft, right?
May? I think it's still in May.
May.
Like, it's not going to be overlapping with the Players' Championship. One of them got moved a week. I think the draft got moved up a week.
Okay. So, yeah.
It's a week later than it used to be.
Not two weeks.
Right. It's a week earlier than it was this
past. So it's a week before Mother's Day is what it is.
Sure.
That's what
we'll go with that.
Because TPC is always
Mother's Day. It's months away.
There you have it. It's coming up sometime in months away from now. The Jaguars will be picking 3rd overall. It is in Chicago.
It will be much discussed. Let's say that. Everyone's got an opinion.
There will be many things discussed about this game and this season today, too. We'll start with this game. I mean, the Jags. Listen to this. The start of the season, this is where you wanted this team to be. In games, in the fourth quarter, on the road against division rivals. This is a division rival that didn't know they were out of the postseason until they got back to the locker room. So they felt they were in it the whole time. And that's really what you wanted coming into the year, right?
You did to a degree, but once you get in the midst of a season, you see the defense is keeping you in some of these games. At a certain point, you want the offense to take a step forward and kind of catch up to where things were. And I think maybe Jag fans got spoiled. I don't say that in a bad way. Early on, when Blake Bortles had a lot of success throwing against San Diego, throwing for 336 against Tennessee, and like, wow, this guy's completing a high percentage of his passes. I want to say 3 of his first 4 starts, he was over 60% with a high of 78%.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's really good.
I'll take that.
And yes, he was throwing some interceptions, but he's also producing offense for the team. Now, as the season went along, and the interceptions started to pile up. I think they tried to coach him to, I don't know, conservative's the right way, but just the value possession of the football a little bit more to realize that sometimes taking the sack or just throwing the ball away, obviously, preferably, is a good play as compared to turning it over. So, you know, as you went along, JP, again, this game, a little bit different. They did score a second-half touchdown, but that's kind of the bar we're at. Will they score in the second half? We've seen too many of those games where, you know, the first half, okay, it's a competitive NFL game, and you get into the second half, and the Jags offense really has fired all the ammo that they had on that given day. They, looking out there today, they were just – they didn't have the playmakers to hang with the typical NFL team. Now, Houston has two. One of them went out early, but the other one killed you all day long. And the guy's a Hall of Famer, but that's what he did. He's Andre Johnson, and he beat you silly, beat your secondary silly all afternoon long. So Jags need more of those guys.
Yeah, so this will be the offseason to try to go pick up a couple of those
Turn Allen Robinson into one of those guys, yeah, and Marquise Lee has been up and down, up and down. Hate for him to end the season on this note because today I just thought – maybe the worst game he's had, just in terms of the number of drops he had today. Had a chance to make some impact plays, had one right across the middle, nobody on him. He's just running at a dead sprint. It's going to be a big gainer. You just have to catch the football. It sounds simple as a receiver, but he's got potential. These guys have potential, but they've got to blossom into playmakers. Blake Bortles is going to need some help.
Lee, 8 targets today, 2 receptions for 8 yards in this game.
And I'm guessing 3 or 4 drops.
Yeah,
I mean,
at least
legit
3
drops. Yeah. Right. And, you know, Cecil, I think, had one earlier, but certainly had the one in the end zone. You can't, I mean, you know, people love Cecil, and I get it. And Cecil's a great guy. He's a pro's pro, okay? But to me, you know, you look at that game. If this game meant something, that's the Dennis Northcutt play from the 2007 playoffs against New England. The ball, it gets that close to your hands. You got to catch that football. You're a professional wide receiver. Guys make much more contested, difficult catches than that. And it was too much of that this year for the Jags to overcome. They didn't have enough explosive plays in the offense to overcome some of the fundamental drops that they had. So, you know, tough when you got to go 8 to 12 plays on every drive practically to put a touchdown on the board.
That's the way it works. Jaguars couldn't get it done today and a lot of times this season for a 3-13 record. How about some phone calls?
Oh,
here,
let's
Mike?
Do it. 355-NFL1, the number 355-6351. Of course, outside the 904 area code, you want to dial 1-800-355-NFL1 to get on board. Your postmortem on today's game. On the season, where the Jags need to go heading into the offseason, are you encouraged? Are you discouraged? So many different ways you can go with this.
We're wide open today.
We are absolutely wide open, JP. Let's go to Luke in Jacksonville Beach and welcome him to the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Luke. How are you?
Hey.
What's up?
I'm a little disappointed in the Jaguars. I mean, they've won and lost a lot of games.
Right. Why so? What stands out most to you, Luke?
Well, I mean, they played pretty bad, but they also played pretty good, depending on which way you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some positives there. There's a lot more negatives, though, at times. I mean, there's some things that stick out that were good, though, at times. Denard Robinson started to find his stride as a running back this year. The receivers, obviously. Allen Robinson, before he got hurt, was playing at a fantastic level. Lee had some bright spots towards the end of the year. Allen Hurns, great start to the season. So that's a positive looking forward. The negative was just the inability of the offense to get anything going, but it's because of those young guys. And yeah, we just talked about it.
The negative is 3-13, man. I mean, that's the bottom line. Look, we can sit here, and you're right, JP. All those examples you gave and many more of individual progress.
Oh, yeah.
But collectively, team won 4 games last year. You come in, you get what you hope is your franchise quarterback, you get some reinforcements along the way in both free agency and the draft, and you take a step back in the win column. I'm not saying that's always indicative of were you better than last year. Certainly more competitive from start to finish this season. They had their moments where they weren't close with several teams, but last year the entire first half of the season was a moment like that. You know, so I think a step up in competitiveness, but that's only comparing themselves to themselves. Comparing themselves to the rest of the league, they finish with another top 3 pick in the draft. So I understand Luke's disappointment.
It's frustrating. 3-13, you go fishing. That's what happens.
That's what you do. Terrence on the north side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Terrence.
Hey, Mike. And how y'all doing, man?
Great. Good. What's up?
Good. Mike, I got a few things I can tell you, but I know I don't have time. So I'm going to go with 2. Offensive line. I think that left side, I'm going to say this and I'll let y'all, and you tell me what you think. The left side of that offensive line, I would switch. And I know you're thinking I'm crazy. I would switch Beatles and put Beatles on the outside and put Joke on the inside. And I want to get y'all's opinion. How do y'all know that Blake, and I like him, but I mean, how do y'all know that he is the franchise quarterback?
We don't know. How do you know? No, we don't. Who's saying we know? I think he's showing you some signs, Terrence. Nobody knows.
I can tell you who knows. It's the guys who say he's the franchise quarterback. Well, he is what he is. I mean, he's going to be the quarterback.
He is going in that sense, but does he fulfill what being a franchise quarterback is? I think that's – well, you can name him, say he's the franchise quarterback. That doesn't mean anything. You can name anybody the franchise quarterback.
Well,
I get that, but I think what he's saying is, does he turn – when we say franchise quarterback, to me – it means you're in the top half of the league, at least, if not higher. And will he become a true franchise quarterback, a guy that you can build a championship-level club around? Only time will tell on that. I agree with you. They have anointed him, but he hasn't proven to be a franchise quarterback yet, in my opinion. That doesn't mean he can't be. He hasn't proven that he won't be. As far as come on now. We're just saying, what are we playing? Fantasy football on the offensive line? Zane Beatles is a left tackle now? I mean, that's just ridiculous, Terrence. And I know, Terrence, and I can say that. But I'll say this. Luke Jokel, again, struggled today on some big plays that stood out. And I know they keep saying he's got all the tools. Well, those tools need to start turning into production pretty soon, too.
Needs some strength. This will be the first real full offseason in the weight room for him. Remember, he was hurt last year, so it wasn't a full run for him. So we'll see. We'll see on him. And he's going to be the left tackle. That's going to be the case.
I'm not questioning that either. It's just, you know, will he be the left tackle in 2 years? Right, that's the question. You don't need to be for this team. Yeah. They can't be replacing guys like Luke Jokel and Jonathan Cyprian, guys that they draft in the first couple rounds of their first draft.
And why folks are frustrated with the offensive line, and whether it's fair or not, 71 sacks for the season is a new franchise record, of course. and tied for the sixth most in a season in NFL history.
Can't blame that all on a rookie quarterback either. Chad Henne took 10 in week two. So, you know, definitely a sore spot this year.
We'll take our first time out on the Scoreboard Show. Plenty of your calls still to come. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll come back with a look at some other scores from around the National Football League in Week 17. Division titles on the line today. Texans beat the Jags 23-17, and more after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Welcome back. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. And the Scoreboard Show continues. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. We check some scores of games active in the NFL. Broncos lead the Raiders 17-7. That's midway through the second quarter. Midway through the second in San Fran, the 49ers over the Cardinals 13-7. The Rams lead the Seahawks with a couple of field goals. That's late second quarter, 6-0. Late second quarter in Atlanta, the Panthers and the Falcons. The Panthers lead 16-3. The winner is in. The loser, as you've said throughout the entire day, gets a top 10 pick.
Top 10 pick, and right now that last touchdown, they just kicked the extra point, 17-3, courtesy of a Matt Ryan pick six.
Packers still lead 7-0 over the Lions for the NFC North Championship, and tonight the Bengals at the Steelers for the AFC North.
Here we've got the top three. That's what we got. 355 NFL-1. That's what we got. Top three pick. We don't have a championship.
Yeah. Number three.
Yeah. We'll try to pick the best player out of the top three. And there is a division battle waged there with Tennessee having the number two
pick.
There you have it. Let's get Mike and Mandarin next up on the Scoreboard Show here. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Mike and JP, how's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, it's okay. Hey, guys, really quick here. JP, I know you were saying you were all clamoring to these guys to be competitive at the end of the season. And, yeah, that's all good and well. But at the same time, these third down conversions, that today is completely unacceptable.
Bad.
Whether you're dinged up or not, 0-for-11 on third down conversions is beyond pathetic. That has got to change next year. These guys have got to be held accountable. Our players should be cut. And personally, Cecil should be gone. He should have had that pass in the end zone. That crap has got to stop. I'll put your comments off the air.
I agree with that. And it's something, going back to your conversation, Mike, with Pete Prisco in the pregame, Pete felt that they might have been coddled a little bit this year just because it's rookie guys and it's a younger coach. And that's just, you know, next year that probably will change because they'll be a year older and they're expected now to understand the situation and the play and not cut a route short and this, the little things shouldn't be as much of an issue next year. And if they are, then, and it continues at this kind of pace, 0-for-11 on third downs, there's going to be changes.
I do think you have to go out there and get a veteran receiver, though, a guy who's more sure-handed, more explosive. One guy I talked to you about off the air was Torrey Smith of the Baltimore Ravens. Just as an example, a guy that can give you something down the field and can give you something that you don't have. He's bigger than Marquise Lee, who also can be a downfield threat. And I think he's faster than Allen Robinson. I think a guy like that, maybe not the most marquee guy on the market, but could come in here and really solidify that core. You can't go into next year, JP, counting on 3 second-year receivers to lead your group. There's got to be some veteran help in that group. But Mike's right. Pathetic. When you're was it 0-for-11, the final tally on third down?
0-for.
That's terrible.
11.
That's terrible. You got to find a way to pick up one third down. You got to find a way to pick up more than one, but absolutely inexcusable, really. I don't know what to tell you. Nobody's definitely making it out to be any better than it is. In that
we
regard.
Agree. That's unacceptable.
We give you a rubber stamp on that one. Let's go to Chris in Lakeland calling in on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, guys. Happy end of the season. It's been a horrible season, but I have enjoyed it, and I had something else to say, but I just briefly wanted to say something about that that touchdown attempt with Shorts and Marquise Lee in the end zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he dropped the ball, but three players wound up on the ground holding themselves, and that looked like pinball to me. I don't really fault Shorts on that particular play. I just felt like the offense was a little bit more conservative than it needed to be. Last game of the season, and until that final drive going down to try to win the game, I just felt like we knew they weren't going to convert. And, you know, fortunately, we got a fourth down conversion instead of a, managing to make any third down conversions. But we just seem to be playing close, conservative, trying to play what we are, we're not. Why not just let it all hang out in the last game? That was my comment.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Look, we're watching the game.
It depends. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is down, by the way, for the Packers right now. That just happened in the game that's
is
going
on. Is that
on
a touchdown play? Because they're up 13-0.
It's
13-0 right now. But
so.
Rodgers
is
a
knee.
Lying on the ground in pain. His knee?
Yeah.
Right now?
Wow. Big story developing there. We'll follow that throughout. But conservative, yeah, I don't – how do you judge that, Mike? I mean, how do you judge conservative against – and it looks like he did it on his own.
That looks like a hamstring almost to me. I mean, the way he came up, but he is grabbing his knee, so
The touchdown play, right after they got the turnover, it's a double pass touchdown. Does that count? I don't
know. That certainly is not a conservative play call. You can argue look, Jed Fish got a look that he liked when he called that, or he doesn't call that. Or it doesn't work. 2 weeks in a row, that same play worked, which is very odd, but it did. But throw that play out. Okay, that's a quick change possession. That's a trick play. You're talking about, I understand what Chris is saying, your base offense, let's get some more shots down the field. There were a couple of times, JP, Blake rolled the pocket. He's clearly waiting for guys to clear, somebody to break open, show something down the field, and there's just not time to protect. They're not on quick hitting stuff. J.J. Watt's got 3 sacks in this football game. I don't know. You know, again, without knowing what all the play calls are, is it not willing to go down the field, or are there plays called to go down the field? And in a 5- and 7-step drop situation, the protection has broken down. And plus, again, you're playing with what exactly at wide receiver? Marquise Lee's having a terrible day.
Right.
Cecil Shorts, I disagree. I think he should have caught that football. And Allen Hurns, as much success as he's had this year, he's an undrafted free agent rookie. It's not like you're loaded with superstar talent, at least accomplished talent across the board there. I understand what he's saying. Sometimes you feel like, hey, let's just wing it. What do we have to lose? You got to be able to protect that. And in turn, that means protect your quarterback.
We'll come back in a moment. More of your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Aaron Rodgers was helped off the field by trainers, was walking under his own power on the sideline. It was a touchdown play. The Packers lead there 14-0. Final score in Houston. The Texans 23, Jaguars 17. More of your calls after this. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Texans over the Jags 23-17. Jags finish the year 3-13. The Scoreboard Show continues. Hey, Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. An update from Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers was carted off the field with an apparent hamstring injury. He went down. He was scrambling, kind of running towards the right near the line of scrimmage, threw the ball on one leg, hopping for a touchdown. So it was 14-0 Packers. But he went down holding just above his left knee on the backside of his leg. And he has now been carted off to the Packers locker room and unlikely to be back today, just looking at it. So Flynn will get the call the rest of the day, it appears.
Yeah, for them, they're up 14-0. The question is, can they hold off the Lions with Matt Flynn? He did. Aaron Rodgers came into the game with a calf strain of I don't know what degree. I don't know if that played a role in this or not. Just looked like the hamstring grabbed as he was running out of the pocket.
Yep. And Broncos lead the Raiders 17-7. That's late first half. Under 2 minutes to play first half. Niners over the Cardinals in San Fran. The Rams lead the Seahawks 6-0. That's under a minute to go in the first half. And the Panthers just added another touchdown. Extra point pending, and should be 24-3 here in a moment. And those are the active games. And, of course, Bengals-Steelers tonight.
Mike Smith, it's been nice knowing you. If this holds up, I mean, already on the hot seat, down 24-3 at home with less than 2 minutes remaining in the first half of a win and you're in type situation. All right, let's get Kevin and McClenny up. 355-NFL1, the number if you'd like to get on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Good.
You guys had a great season, and hopefully all you guys will be back next year.
Hey. We hope so.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Mike Smith's probably going, you know what, that Dempsey, he better close strong here on the Scoreboard Show if he wants to be back.
Well, I have a couple questions. One is, and I'm not talking like what Johnny Football did. But what can the players do off season? Can Bortles and Henny get together with like Lee and some other receivers, just find a football field or something and practice without coaches?
Absolutely.
Is that allowed?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Okay, and the other question is about Justin Blackman's name has been popping up a lot. And do you guys know anything about it? And I'll take the answer off the air.
All right, you got it, Kevin. Well, actually, I know all the details, and I've been waiting for this. No, I'm kidding.
That would be awesome. This is breaking news.
No, we do not. I mean, what you've heard is probably what everybody knows right now, is that Justin completed a rehab stint, and everybody hopes for the best, that he's got his life on the right path. And the book is not completely closed on him playing here in Jacksonville, but nobody's counting on it. It really hasn't changed a whole lot.
It hasn't. John Osher keeps saying that he feels there's a chance he could be back.
And I agree with that.
There's a chance that he comes back and he's not in shape either. And there's a chance he's coming back and he's in shape, or there's a chance he doesn't come back. So there's a chance all the way around, depending on what way you look at it. But, yeah, you're getting together in the offseason. I think that's pretty routine, actually. They'll find a local high school here or somewhere and go work on their own. As long as there's no coaches there, they can do whatever the heck they want.
Absolutely. And, you know, hey, maybe the coaches give you an idea of what they'd like you to work on in the offseason. JP, I'm not going to say it's ever happened, but it may have happened at some point that the coaches kind of, you know, say, hey, here's what you need to be doing if you're willing to do it. Technically, there's not allowed to be any contact and certainly no coaching going on during a lot of those
you
periods.
You can tell them that before the season's
absolutely
over.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Here's your plan for the offseason.
Here's what I want you to have get accomplished.
It is voluntary, of course.
Right. Well, and that stuff typically is, but you see Peyton Manning's done it with his guys over the years. He brings all his receivers together. The best ones do it. Tom Brady would hold a West Coast camp. You know, the good and the bad quarterbacks, guys who are incumbent starters, typically at least for a one-week period, to have that where they can work on their own and have unlimited amount of reps and really just work on some timing and get some rhythm going. 355 NFL 1, Saqib. Wouldn't be a post game without him here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Saqib. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, man.
I still haven't jumped off the bridge, so, you know,
that's
I'm
good.
Still hanging.
Because okay. Because there's a whole season coming up, Saqib.
But, you know what makes me mad, guys, is we have first down at 10, for example, on the 10-yard line, right? Couple of tries, and this play calling is horrible. So just go ahead and fire Jeff Fish. I know I've been saying it for weeks. Go ahead and fire him and go get him that offensive coordinator. I mean, this has been really bad for every Jaguar fan you can see that what we have done. And I'm not looking forward to it next year because it's going to be same excuses. We have too many young guys. We're going to have 6-7 wins next year. It's going to be the same thing every year. And I'm just kind of tired of it. You know, having excuses every year that we have young guys, that we have young quarterbacks, and it's just not right.
So, if 7 wins is unacceptable next year, what is the bar for you that you'll be
9
satisfied?
Wins. I want 9
minimum
wins
of 9
year.
Wins. Okay.
9.
So if they're in, let's say they're in the race with 2 weeks left to go, and they have 7 wins, and they happen to fall, they're in the hunt in December. They're right there. They happen to fall in two close games where something freak happens, and they get 7 wins and miss the playoffs.
But
you're going to call for heads?
Let's be honest. This team is never close, okay?
Yeah, this team
was. Since 2007, we have not made it to the playoffs, okay? Since 2007, we have had a joke of a franchise, okay? Let's just be real about it. This is the guy that you're talking to that's a diehard fan. They will always be there. But let's just be real about it. This team is not close. You guys are talking about, everybody's talking about they're going to be close next year. This team is not close.
Whoa. Who is saying they're going to be close next year? We're saying what the expectation level that people should put on them should be. It's up to them to live up to it, Saqib. Who's saying?
Mike.
What?
It's not right. It's not right that everybody, okay, we have 4 wins last year. I was looking for 6 wins. That was my bar.
Then don't be happy, Saqib. That's your right. That could be your bar. Nobody's telling you. You have to accept this. I mean, all we can do is analyze what happened this year, try to explain why it happened. Nobody's telling you you have to eat that. Telling you you have to keep your season tickets. Nobody's telling you you have to, you can go have a dog pile and burn all your Jaguar gear if you want to. That's your prerogative. Do whatever you like. You can just say 16-0 is your unrational expectation. Nobody cares, Saqib. Set any bar you like. You're the only one who has to live with it, okay? Honestly. I mean, if you're waiting for me
Don't hang up on Saqib.
What? It's the same call 17 weeks running. Are you kidding me?
It's all Dempsey's fault.
I don't care.
Remember
I've had
that.
Enough of Saqib.
Dempsey.
He may be right. That's his prerogative, but it's the same sad
thing. Dempsey at 1010XL.com.
Everyone's saying they're going to be this. No one's saying that. What do you want us to do? Do you want us to sit here and say, wow, we have no idea why they lost 13 games? You try to explain why they lost the games. I don't understand.
It's all your fault.
It is. It might be all my fault.
I'll
take the blame. I'm fine with it.
We'll come back in a moment with some more phone calls. This should be an exciting final couple of segments. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Hey, you know, we will have some positive next segment because we'll talk about field goals for Firehouse.
Woohoo!
That's the positive from today. More of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Jags fall 23-17 to the Houston Texans in Week 17. Finished the season 3-13. Scoreboard Show continues. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey updating the scores of games in action. Halftime in Seattle, Rams lead 6-0. Halftime in Atlanta, 24-3 Panthers over the Falcons. The Broncos lead with just seconds to go in the first half at home against the Raiders, 20-7. Niners lead the Cardinals 13-10, but the Cardinals are knocking on the door. They might have just scored. There's a review on a touchdown pending right now. So
look,
the Cardinals have a 16-13 lead pending the review there. It's halftime at Lambeau. Packers lead the Lions 14-7, and, of course, Bengals-Steelers coming up tonight. Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you'll get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. No registration anymore. The season's over. But today, Scobie connected from 53, was it? The first field goal of the game, 53 yards away. He missed from 51 later off the upright. But, hey, one field goal is good enough for subs. In
for
the final
subs, it is. That second one, he had all the leg you needed. And if it goes in, JP, completely different ball game at the end there. Right, Jags down 3 instead of 6, and they're kicking a field goal and tying it up, and who knows at that point.
And let's give Josh a little credit, too, because early in the year there were some blocks, there were some issues with protection, some issues with some low kicks.
He wasn't hitting it well.
And he got together with the group and figured out some things. So, yeah, they changed some personnel up front on protection, and Scobie worked on elevating his kicks some and went out and got extra work in and got that done. And, yeah, he missed one off the upright and had some misses here or there. But he improved as this went on. He adjusted to it. A veteran kicker did it. So good for him.
All right, let's get out to Los Angeles. Justin calling in, 355-NFL-1 is the number if you'd like to get on board on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Justin. How are you?
I'm great, guys. I've got a couple questions. First of all, for JP, is Mike Dempsey okay right now?
I'm fine.
I don't know. I don't know. He's a little verklempt.
Look, here's my thing. You can feel any way you want about the team. Just don't come on and tell me what we all are telling you to think, because nobody's telling you to think anything. So, I mean, if you're the kind of person who's cool with people telling you that you're telling them things that you're not, then I guess you'd be a lot calmer than I would in that situation.
I've learned, Justin, you know, the first week or so, I was like, I need to, like, hide out in the corner or something. But now
it's just kind of my natural state of being.
It's loud and it's brash, but he's not going to throw anything anymore.
Good.
It's fine.
Well, I feel like you guys have played under more duress than Blake Bortles has over the years.
I doubt that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel for you guys. I feel like you're constantly just running around from the pocket trying to find a man downfield.
Okay. Nah, we're fine, man. This is easy. This is fun.
We've got good legs.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So what's your thought on the game?
My thought on the game is that it actually was a pretty well-played game overall. But, again, Brian Sexton said it pretty well. It's like they couldn't just finish it. They couldn't find a person. You know, they're 5 yards out at the end of the game. You know, but they did progressively get better. They did compete. My question for you guys two things. I do want to know, like, looking back on the season, as radio hosts, what do you guys hope for most next year? And secondly, in the draft, how do you think we go, like, 1, 2, 3 in the draft? You know, like, it's our first round, second round, third round picks. What do you guys think that we prioritize next year?
I think pass rush is the priority, and that's something that they don't have on defense. They don't have a guy you have to game plan for. Marks was kind of that guy, but in the middle. But you don't have an outside threat.
You don't have one single guy that makes defensive coordinators stay up at night.
Right. You need that. You got to have that. I think that's one thing missing.
I think that's a likely place they go with the first pick based on the talent that's going to be available to you as well.
What were the other questions?
Other places they may go. Well, that's going to depend on what they do in free agency. If they go out and sign a tight end in free agency, well, they're probably not drafting
a little
young,
early.
You know, so there's different ways you can go on it. What do we want to see next year? Wins. It's that simple.
Yes, wins and touchdowns on offense.
Right. I said it earlier. I don't want to say, hey, they're competing right up to the last gun. That's not good enough next year. I'm not saying it's good enough this year, but at a certain point, you had to accept that the organization is going in this direction, and they're behind everything that's happened in JP. But W's, you got to pay off the W's next year. That's what it's all about. What that number is, I don't know. A lot of that will pass, you know, based on the eyeball test.
Jags defense had another forced fumble today, by the way, so new franchise record for forced fumbles in a season. But I'd like to see more interceptions.
Yeah, well, they got one today. Look what happened. They ran it all the way back for a touchdown.
Nice, but they could have done that a little more often.
Got to do a better job defending the ball. That one was a tip pass kind of behind DeAndre Hopkins. He tipped it up. That's room service. You got to make plays on the ball that aren't tipped. You got to do a better job in that regard. Let's see if we can get Ken in real quick.
Go for it.
Let's do that. Ken, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, man.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Mike?
What's up?
I think y'all do an excellent job, first of all. Mike, I just have a couple of questions. The first thing, Mike, is I'm just frustrated about the as far as the offense, just the passes that get dropped. I mean, it's just too many passes get dropped. And then I want to know about the third down conversions. It was just horrible, Mike. And then who would you draft at number 3?
Appreciate the call.
Come on,
Ken.
Mike. Go ahead.
A, yes. Okay. Yes. The third down conversions. B, yes. I agree. I mean, you can't drop the ball. You got to convert some third downs, JP. So I agree with both of those.
Yes.
Points.
And
those are sore points.
C, the last answer.
Leonard Williams, Randy Gregory, take your pick. Pass rush.
That's
probably where they're going. Would I necessarily do that? I'm going to let the process play out a little bit. I haven't done all my study, but I think that's if you're betting today, if you're going to Vegas today, that's a logical position as any to wager on the Jags select.
We'll come back in a moment. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show for the 2014 season. If you don't get in, the fifth quarter show. Hacker and T-Wig are standing by. The number there is 641-1010. They will take your calls coming up. We'll wrap it up for the season after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. New system, new routes, new way. The JTA is transformed to be the kind of bus system customers enjoy riding. Their new routes mark the beginning of a new way of doing business at the JTA. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, final segment for the season. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Some of the real notables today, Cindric Marks with an apparent knee injury. MRI is scheduled for tomorrow, and we'll see if Gus Bradley has word on that when he speaks to the media tomorrow. Lender had a knee but came back into the game. Actually, he had two knees, but one was injured and came back into the game. Toby Gerhart, ankle injury, did not come back in the game. Lee had a left leg injury but came back. Hearns with an ankle injury. Those are some of the notables today, and the last thing you want on the last day of the season is that type of injury report.
Well, especially if it's a significant one for Cindric Marks, as we mentioned earlier. The one thing I felt the best about this football team, Marks Miller, the M&M boys, under contract, locked up, man, playing great football and building blocks, depth behind them, defensive tackle, no questions about that on this football team. Now, let's hold our breath, hope for the best, because we don't know. Maybe it'll turn out to be a false alarm. Let's hope for the best for Cindric Marks.
Are you calm? Are you?
I'm fine,
are
man.
You good.
People have this conception that I'm upset. I enjoy.
I wonder why. Because
I enjoy the debate.
Screaming.
I enjoy
you're
getting,
sweating right now.
I enjoy my juices getting flowing, and I do. I mean, that's to me the best part of radio. So I'm fine, bro. Hey, I love it. I really do.
Hey, guess what? There's a handful of months of this before the NFL draft, so get ready.
You know what? Tune in weekdays from 10 to noon right here on 1010 92.5 FM. You're going to hear a lot of consternation, I have a feeling, over the next several months.
This tomorrow should be fun, too. Yes.
starting tomorrow, right. We don't even have to wait for 2015. Tomorrow, Johnny O will be in here and Loggy on Tuesday. And that'll do it for 2014. Before we get out of here, in all seriousness, I want to say thanks to you.
No, you, man.
No, I went first.
No.
No, seriously. You are the veteran of the Jaguar Radio Network. I appreciate you taking me under your wing and making it very easy for me just to show up and, you know, get that vein in my head throbbing a little bit in the postgame.
I just let you go.
That's all I have to do. You just point me towards the microphone and go. But you, in all seriousness, you have been tremendous to work with this year, JP. Look forward to hopefully doing it again for many years to come. For
same
Linda Fortunato and Tony Smith as well, working with these guys every game, home and away. It's been a lot of fun this
year. Great group. A lot of pizza eating in the studio.
Today was no exception.
We've had a fantastic year, and it's same to you, man. Great job. Linda, thank you for everything you've done throughout the year. Tony Smith as well. And thanks to you for listening as well. The Scoreboard Show is done for 2014. Listen to Jaguars Today each and every day from 10 to noon right here on 1010XL. And for more Jaguars coverage, visit Jaguars.com as always. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Final score for the final time in Houston. Texans 23, Jaguars 17. The Jags finish 3-13. They'll pick third in the 2015 NFL Draft. That's it for now on Jaguars Radio.